Welcome to today's OTA podcast on obtaining support from leadership around information governance, knowledge management, and enterprise content management initiatives. This is one of a series of podcasts on this topic. My name is Brian Clayton, CIO of Taft, Tennyson & Hollister, and I'll be moderating this series. Today we will discuss this topic with Brian Donato at Voorhees Sater Seymour & Peace. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you, Brian?
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about your role and how long you've been in this role?
Well, certainly. I joined the law firm in 1998. I was the IT director at the time, and in 2010, I took on the CIO role, which included gaining responsibility for both records, conflicts, and the library. Prior to that, I was in banking, and prior to that, I did some programming and development and consulting. And prior to that, most of your listeners probably weren't born, so we'll skip it.
In your current role, how much of your time is spent on evangelizing initiatives?
Yeah, that's a great question. Clearly not enough. But I do think that acting as a change agent, it's one of the most useful things and probably one of the most productive tasks that a CIO can undertake.
Do you have an initiative where your approach was important that you feel would be a good sample for the listeners?
Well, probably in the spirit of the topic of our conversation, the evolution of information governance at my firm might be most on point. So, like many firms, you know, towards the end of the last decade, early into this decade, we had to respond to increasing cybersecurity threats in our environment. Interestingly enough, we weren't so much driven by clients as by some people in the firm that became concerned about the HITECH Act and the implications of those regulations because we had a lot of healthcare clients. So really transformational stuff for us happened starting in early 2010. But to be honest, it was, as you might expect, mostly around compliance stuff, security awareness, a few key security policies, making sure that the culture had an understanding of some of the behavior we were looking for. But starting in 2013, I started to work with firm management and try to broaden our concerns from just straight security to include information governance concerns, especially being concerned about how much data we had, if we knew where it was, if we knew what our obligations were, if we were being proactive and in some cases aggressive in getting rid of it. So these were the types of things I started talking about. To get that done was interesting and somewhat challenging. As you might imagine, you know, none of the decision makers in the firm were super in tune with information governance. So they'd heard of it and they wanted to know more. So I started working with the chief operating officer at the firm, who was an attorney, and started to talk a little bit to several key partners, got from there some opportunities to make a few presentations about what the risks and the opportunities were, both to some groups and some one-on-one meetings. And after about, I don't know, a year or so of work, I was able to convince several partners and get the blessing of the COO to form an informal information governance committee that could offer their opinions and guidance on everything from how we were forming our policies to what our risk management tolerance should be, to helping endorse certain maybe inconvenient to our user controls in our security environment, to working with our records retention policy and disposition processes. So that group met several times, and then this year, at the beginning of the year, the firm saw fit to make it a permanent committee, and it's been very productive and very helpful in getting some of the more controversial initiatives underway and hopefully on their way to success.
Well, following the release of that initiative, do you have any other 360-degree view golden nuggets to share?
I have some copper nuggets, maybe. but I certainly wouldn't call them gold. And a lot of this, all of our listeners will recognize it as common sense. For any of these things, you have to talk to people. And you can't just talk at them. You have to talk with them and listen with an open mind. You know, I guess at my best, when I have those conversations, my opinions on what we need to do and how we need to do it can be swayed. And I often end up with a much better result than I would have if I'd locked myself in a room and done it on my own. So listening with an open mind is really key. You know, from time to time, we all have to do things that in the end aren't super valuable to an attorney's day-to-day work, but they're valuable to the firm as a whole. So if you do have something that you're dealing with that, I mean, clearly is going to be viewed as a pain by some of your users, make sure you have a good narrative about why you're doing it and what you're trying to do and why it's important to the firm, and make sure that narrative is heard. And ideally, if it's heard and repeated by some of the influencers at the firm, you know, you're going to have success.
Have you experienced resistance from the firm leadership on particular initiatives, and were you able to convince them? And if so, how?
Well, certainly I've experienced resistance. I'm certain we all have. And, you know, sometimes there are different types of resistance, right? We all have to choose our battles. Sometimes there are battles that aren't worth fighting. But when the resistance is based on a lack of understanding, I find that multiple exposures to the themes can be helpful. Certainly, the more you get in front of somebody and are able to explain and break down, you know, what the point and the purpose is, the more likely you are to be successful in getting some buy-in and some endorsement of what it is you want to do. Sometimes the passage of time helps. Certainly somebody sitting down and fighting with their firm to take potentially inconvenient security initiatives is going to be much more successful in 2015 than they would have been in 2005.
Do you feel that the initiatives commonly ever get finished, or do they seem to always need some type of continued effort?
You know, it's interesting. I think that when you do something that represents a big change, you have a lot of change management to do, and people will react the way people react to different change. They're going to struggle some, or some will endorse it and some will resist it. But what I find over time is that people adjust pretty rapidly. And what was once radically different quickly becomes the new norm. So the great advantage of that is that tweaking becomes a lot easier after that. So one of my favorite stories to tell is when our firm attempted to first put passwords on mobile devices. Now, this was a long, long time ago, probably before it was quite in vogue to do this with mobile devices. And that was one of the complaints I heard. Well, no other attorneys are doing it. Why should we do this? And I had attorneys writing extremely long memos about all the different reasons why not only this was a silly initiative, but also why the initiative, the particulars of the initiative themselves, the length of time to time out, the passwords, those sorts of things, made no sense. But now, when we go to tweak that policy, increase the complexity, increase the length, people, they barely blink. So, you know, both time and adjusting to the new norm have been our friends.
How have changes in the legal profession impacted your ability to build support for and execute change?
Well, I think like most of us, there's less people to do the work than there was 5 years ago. Paradoxically, there's much more work to do than there was 5 years ago. Some of it perhaps not on the more flashy value add side, you know, a lot more compliance and regulatory work. So those are certainly things that are a little bit more challenging in our landscape. On the other side of the coin, there are things that are happening in the environment that have heightened client sensitivity and therefore attorney sensitivity on certain issues. You know, the Casey Flaherty technology audit raised some awareness in the firm about perhaps getting some education on technology is a good thing. Certainly clients who are knocking on our door and sending us questionnaires asking about this and that security control make it a whole bunch easier to get attention to being proactive on some of the security things. So, you know, a mixed bag, but those are some of the things I've seen.
Do you recommend any good books about leading change?
Well, I'll tell you what. I guess the book I'm going to recommend isn't specifically on leading change, but it is about leading, and it certainly can be applicable to change. And it's an oldie but goodie. It's a book by a guy named Jim Collins. The name of it is Good to Great. if you've ever heard the term level five leadership, that's the book that coined that term. And it's a good read. It's a quick read. And it's one of those books that I think is somewhat rare in that everyone I've ever talked to that has read it has come away with something useful from it.
Great. Any parting thoughts for the audience?
Parting thoughts. Well, fortunately, you didn't ask for wisdom, so I'm off the hook on that. Let's see here. I guess if there's something you want to get done, have a concise story to tell and make sure that that story includes some sort of value proposition to the firm or to the individual you're talking about. Repeat it often. Repeat it as often as necessary until others repeat it, hopefully to their peers. And don't fail to listen. You know, sometimes the change that's necessary is within you and within your plans.
Thank you, Brian. I am hopeful our audience today found as much value from this discussion as I did. Please check back for more in this series of discussions. We look forward to joining us then.